the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the endless carols and bells make a holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make a holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you.
I want to invite all the children to come down, okay? Now, all the children, every children here, whether you're visiting or not, all the children come down front. I've got some special things planned for you. So y'all come on down. You can bring your toys with you, your stuff. Come on down. All the children come down here. Thank you. Just sit down right here with it, okay? Sit down and face the screen. I'm going to show you some videos. Sit on the floor, all right? Sit on the floor so everybody can see. Y'all sit on the floor, okay? Sit on the floor. Everybody sit on the floor right here. We look at the screen. I'm going to show you some things on the screen, okay? Everybody come down. We got some special stuff for the children today. So come on down. Anybody else want to come? Come on down and join us, man. Y'all sit down. And I tell you, the first thing we're going to do is, I was trying to think, you know, we want to remember what the real meaning of Christmas is. And for years, I think this helped me. And this is one of the best ways it can be explained. Okay, so y'all just look on the screen, and Allie's going to show us what Christmas really means.
Yes, I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Now, you know, the children go usually at this time in the back, and they have really, I have to tell you, adults, they have a lot more fun than we do, okay? But since Christmas is about baby Jesus, I wanted this service to be about our children also. So, hey, they're going to stay, and we're going to all join in together. Is that all right? We're going to join in with them. And one thing they've been doing is a great program, and they watch an awesome video, and they go in the back for their time. So we're going to enjoy that now. We're going to watch with them, okay? So, Allie, you take it away.
Hoo! Hoo! Know what time it is?
It's time to hear a story full of wonder. There's so much fun we'll have learning to.
The last cup, and the most important part, the party hat. Merry Christmas! Today our countdown is over. It's time for my Happy Birthday Jesus PJ party.
Harper, don't you mean our Happy Birthday Jesus PJ party?
Hey, Jaden, that's what I meant. This is our Happy Birthday Jesus PJ party. Sorry I'm late, guys. Hi, guys! I'm so glad you could come to our Happy Birthday Jesus PJ party. You guys got my invitations, right? Oh, good.
Oh, I've got our scroll from box number one here. Ollie promised something big was coming.
And he gave us these pajamas. And he gave us our plates, cups, hats, and... Oh, no! We forgot the most important part. We forgot
the cake!
Please let Ollie have a spare cake with him.
Hello, Harper. Ho, ho. Are you ready for our party? Are you?
Ollie, we have everything but the cake.
Each party needs a tasty snack. That's true. Did you open my last gift for all of you? Christmas is about gifts, that's true. But that's not the most important gift for you. Let's hear the real Christmas story from the Bible. Just follow me through. Ooh,
ooh. Follow me through, follow me through. Ollie's got a Bible story for me and you.
Oh, hey there, friends. I'm Luis. Can you believe it? It's Christmas! Christmas happiness! Woo! Yeah! Christmas! Yeah! It's here. It's finally here. We've been counting down the weeks, but now it's Christmas. And it's such a special day. Not just because of presents. Not just because of our families. No. Christmas is the most special of days because it's the day of God's Son's birth. And I think we should work together to try to remember the whole story. Are you ready for a Christmas building project? Great! Get out your pretend hammers, little helpers. Ready? Let's hammer. Great job! You can put your hammers down. All right. Let's play a game to see how much you can remember about the Christmas story. Every time you get a question right, a bucket of confetti will fall on me. We're having a party today, and well, you can't have a party without confetti. Okay, let's start with box number 5. When the angel appeared to Mary, he told her she was going to have a frog, a bunny rabbit, or a baby. A baby, that's right. Here comes the confetti. Great job, guys. Okay, let's keep counting down with box number 4. Where did Mary and Joseph stay once they got to Bethlehem? In a school, in a hospital, or in a stable? In a stable, that's right. Uh-oh, here it comes again. Ooh. You guys are good at this game. Okay, I guess we'll move on to box number 3. after the baby was born, what did Mary lay him down in? A nest, a manger, or a crib? In a manger! You're right! It looks like a bigger bucket. Ooh! Well, good thing we only have two more to go. Otherwise, I'm gonna have confetti up to my eyeballs. Well, alright. The night Jesus was born, angels appeared in the sky to whom? Shepherds, kings, or firefighters? Shepherds, you're right. Does that sound like a truck full of confetti to you? Yeah, me too. Oh, good thing we're down to our last question. This is the most important one. Box number one, please. So, we know that on Christmas, baby Jesus was born. But that's not why he was special. Why is Jesus special? Is it because he's God's son? Yes, Jesus is special because Jesus is God's son. And he came for you and me. That's why we counted down the weeks, and that's why today we celebrate. You did it! Oh man, here it comes. The biggest confetti yet. Oh, hi, Ollie. Tell me, why is Jesus special?
Jesus is God's son. Yes, it's true. Now I want to hear it from you. Tell me, why is Jesus special?
Jesus is God's son. That's the truth, friends. You better believe it. And Merry Christmas and Feliz Navidad. See you next time. Bye-bye.
So there's your story. And it's all true. God sent his son, Jesus, for me and for you.
Thanks, Ollie.
Goodbye to you.
God gave us a son, Jesus, and that's why we're celebrating today.
Jesus came to be our friend, and he wants to be our friend forever.
And today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus, and Merry Christmas, Clubhouse friends. I think I got the story. Did you get it? If you did, say got it. Get it?
Got it!
Good.
Sing with us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Listen. It looked like they had so much fun on that. I got this huge birthday cake for Jesus that we can all sing happy birthday to Jesus. Can y'all stand up here and join me, get around? Now, I can't sing, so Davey's going to lead us in happy birthday, Jesus. But in church, you can help us if you want to. But y'all gather around. Get up close, boys, so you can help me out here, okay? I wanted all of you to have your own birthday cake, so for the one time only, you get cake in church. Isn't that awesome? So, let's see. How am I going to do this? Okay. So I've got your own birthday cake, less the candle and the fire, parents. So let me give you this. Dave, you help me. You get a candy cane with some candy in the cake, and then you can go sit down with your parents, okay? So here you go. You can get your cake, grab your stuff, and go back and sit with your parents. And okay. Here you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Here you go, your hot rod. Girls, there you go. There you go, sweetheart. Sure, yeah. Get one?
I got it. All right. Come on.
Get your candy cane from Davy. Okay? Get your candy cane from Davy. All right. Miles? Yeah. Okay. Any more little ones that need a cupcake? Anybody else need a, not you, Aaron, put your hand down. So anybody else? Any other little ones need a cupcake? Maybe too little. Oh, got one. Here you go. That's it. Got one? Anybody else? Anybody else? Everybody covered. All right, everybody covered. Yeah, who'd get one?
Your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby
to worship. Amen? Amen. All right. Chris, maybe give me a little light, a little Bible light here. And I hope you brought your Bibles today. If you didn't, there's one in the pew. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I think Linus did a great job with the Christmas story. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin looking in verse 41. Luke 2 and 41. If you're physically able, please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Parents, your children, do not bother me in the least little bit. Story is told of a child who was getting real loud, and it was really, you know, getting disruptive, and the mom was headed out the back door with it, and the preacher saying what I was saying, she said, "Ma'am, you know, you don't have to take that baby out. That baby's not bothering me one bit." And the mom would turn around and look and said, "Well, preacher, you sure are bothering my baby. So if I'm bothering your child, that's another story, but the shoe won't be bothering me." In verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, 'Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said to them, 'How is it thou sought me? Was not that I must be about my father's business?'" Dear God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to journey with Jesus and not be journeying without him at any time. And let us be about the Father's business. Since in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I have a very special baby to introduce to y'all today. Brooke and David, y'all stand up and tell us about our Christmas gift. We were at Sandra's mom's last night for Christmas eating, and I think after everybody had held the baby besides the neighbors, I was actually about to doze, and Sandra said, "You want to hold Adelaide?" And she brought her over, and I was sitting there in the living room and in Wesley's big recliner and holding Adelaide, and I thought, boy, there's no gift any more precious than that life. And the other thing that I've just been reminded of so often is this, y'all, you know, baby is just not being born or not living without God. I mean, they're so fragile, we feel like maybe more fragile than they are. But y'all, we're not living. We're not living. We're not breathing. We're not doing anything without God. And man, he takes care of us. We began last Sunday with this passage in the Bible about that Jesus came. Jesus. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. And didn't you enjoy the children's lesson? And didn't that do a good job of explaining what Christmas is all about? Jesus came, and we celebrate that. And we think about Jesus coming. If you weren't here last Sunday, just catch up a little bit. We looked at how the first thing we kind of find about being most important is that Jesus came to give life. He came to give life. It tells us that John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He talks in John 10:10 about when Jesus came, the life he came was to give us an abundant life. Not an abundance of money and possessions, and you got every gift that you wanted, or you're able to get your children or grandchildren every gift you want, but in the abundance of a relationship with him, and love and peace and grace, and things money can't buy, and just and that's what an abundant life is. So he came to give life, and he came for us that were lost, amen. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, and what a day on Jesus' birthday to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. We talked last Sunday about when they'd gone to the temple and about how they'd taken Jesus, now at 12 years old, as he was there in the temple. We find that when Jesus comes into a situation, comes into a life, a family, a church, we have spiritual growth. It says in Nehemiah that for the joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants us to grow in him. And we found that it'll fill us with wisdom. In Proverbs 4:7, the Bible says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting understanding." That's what Jesus does. He brings us that wisdom we need. And we find that the grace of God was upon him, the Bible tells us. And that's what we need. What is grace? His unmerited favor. We kind of ended up last Sunday thinking about, we read is what Mary and Joseph had done. They were keeping the Passover, so they were being very faithful to the traditions of the Bible, the instructions of the Bible, the worship of the Bible. Thank you this morning for being faithful to come to God's house on Jesus' birthday. A church up the road has a neat sign, and it says, "How would you feel if we celebrated your birthday without you?" Amen? But all over the world, in homes everywhere, people are celebrating today without Jesus Christ. But they were, Mary and Joseph were faithful. They were taken faithfully to remember that story. They came faithfully to worship what they were doing there in Jerusalem. And they were faithful to make that long walk. And he simply says, when Jesus really comes in your life, you'll be faithful to walk with him. I believe that's what brought you here today. I read in devotion last week or the week before how it's in Oswald Chambers' Utmost for High, said it is only a faithful person who truly believes that God is in control of everything. We take our circumstances for granted. We'll say God's in control, but we believe and act like that we and other people are in control. Amen? To be faithful means that in every circumstance that we have only one loyalty, one object of that faith, and that's Jesus Christ. And that if we'll just learn to worship Jesus and let Jesus come into every situation, good and bad, especially in the problems of life, that what will happen is if we'll worship through, that he is the one that can quickly change it in some way if he chooses, but will always change us. The goal of faithfulness is not that we do work for God, but that we're faithful to just let God do his work through us. We make it much too complicated. And then I read this, it's almost as if so many times our Lord is kind of taken off the throne where he needs to be by us Christian workers, because we are so busy trying to work. He expects no complaining on our part, offers no explanations on his part. God wants us to be simply used by his Son. That's what faithfulness is. So this morning, in just a brief few minutes, I wanted us to begin really to introduce something that I really believe on this last Sunday of this year 2016, that God is going to really take us individually as a church to realize that when Jesus comes into a life, what he brings is a personal relationship. A personal relationship. And I just feel the leading of God that in the coming Sundays we're going to kind of focus on what does that look like when Jesus comes? What is a personal relationship? And the world is full of religion, amen? There are services all over the world today, but some of them are so ceremonial, so religious, and there's not even a glimpse of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look there with me, if you would, in verse 43. And it's so powerful. In the words of verse 43, when we think about relationship, we find, first of all, that Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. He tarried behind. He was waiting. He was tarrying. He wasn't moving. He wasn't going anywhere. Let me tell you what, folks, there's one thing for sure. We do not like to tarry. Amen? We don't like to tarry. We don't like to stay. We like to go. Go, go, go. Got to go here. Got to go there. Going for work. Going for family. Going for fun. But we find Jesus painting a picture here that he's always waiting on God. When God says tarry, wait, but find, even at 12 years old, such a relationship that he waited on God. He was doing what God wanted to do. He wasn't rushing on to where he wanted to be or what he wanted to do or what anybody else thought he needed to do. We need to claim the same thing. In Psalms 27:14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." We're not good waiters, amen? But when Jesus comes and we allow him to come and be present in a situation, often he wants us to tarry before him, before his word and prayer and his service, just waiting on him to give us the answers and what we need to know. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." That's what happens when Jesus comes. He often says, "Wait." So I encourage you. You may be here this morning and Jesus is saying, "Wait, wait. Don't rush into that decision. Don't keep heading down that road you're on. Don't even continue to do life like you're doing. Wait on me and let me show you what I've got for you." You know, it says there in verse 43 that Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. He was behind in that he was behind his family and the friends and the neighbors. They were journeying home, but he was behind them. And I will tell you what, folks, if there's one thing that I pray that God would do for us individually and as a church this year, that we would spend more time being behind this old crazy world we live in. Amen. Let the world rush ahead. Let the world change. Let everything go on that's going on. And let us find ourselves being behind all that, waiting on Jesus, letting him come into every situation we have in our lives. Look at verse 44. So not only did he tarry, not only was he behind, there's a word that just jumps out of that verse in my mind as I study it. Said, but supposing him to have been in the company. Supposing his... Mary and Joseph, they assumed that Jesus was with the other children somewhere around the group, but they were all headed home because it was time to go home. They were supposing. Every one of us sitting here are guilty, and we spend much time supposing about things. We think we know what's going on. We think we've got it figured out. We do it at my house. We'll be talking about certain situations, and this is what we suppose was going on. This is what we suppose is going to happen. But in Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man that we suppose, we think, but then there are the ways of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5 that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. So it's almost like Jesus is showing us a reminder. When he comes and is alive and active, and we have that personal relationship, we need to throw the supposing out the door. If we don't have it in his word, if we haven't seen the truth and experienced it, we need to just quit thinking about it and just to wait on him and let him reveal what's going on. How many times has supposing something got you in trouble this past year? When to find out later on that the way you were thinking, just as the Bible warned us, was not right. So not only did he tarry, and not only does he show us we can be behind, and that when he comes in personal relationship, we can get rid of all that supposing. You know, supposing means a lot of worry, amen? We think we know why somebody did something or why they didn't do it or what's going on, and that's not the way. But then it says in verse 44, it says they went a day's journey. I mentioned that before we left last Sunday. They went a day's journey. And the question that came to my mind was, so they journeyed a whole day without Jesus. And the question they want to ask all of us this morning, and that God really do something in our lives, is, how long have maybe you journeyed without Jesus? Think about that for a moment. They had journeyed a whole day. They went a day's journey. Really, on a Christmas morning like this, there may be somebody who's come, and really, if you'd be honest, when it comes to a personal relationship, when it comes to what we've been talking about, really knowing Jesus, him taking your life, you're surrendered, and he has total control, that maybe you've spent a lifetime journeying without the gift of Jesus. The doors are still open. You know, it says there in the book of Genesis and the account of the flood that Noah and his family entered in, and they had all the animals, and there came a time where it says that God shut them in, that God shut the door. So you may have journeyed all your life without Jesus, but the door is still open today. The door is open this morning to walk into that doorway to have a personal relationship with him. When I thought about journeying for a day, I also thought about us as Christians, us church folks, us that, you know, say we know him, that maybe we do know him, but maybe we've just been journeying. Maybe this year we've not journeyed with him. Maybe it's been several years. Maybe there's been some weeks and days that we just had really been going through life without him coming into what was going on. I thought about that, how oftentimes if we're not careful, we can journey into the internet, amen, without Jesus. We can journey and spend time places and he's nowhere around. We're not remembering and he's not on that journey with us. We're traveling. We can journey into a meeting, whether it be a Christmas gathering or a business meeting or just getting together with the friends. And Jesus said, we're journeying without him. We're going into it, the things that are being thought, said, and done. We can journey on a trip, plan a Christmas trip, a vacation trip, but we leave Jesus behind. in our thinking, in our relationships, in our work, and so much time we spend, and we really, let's be honest, he's not with us on the journey, amen? And so those words were jumping out, and I realized when Jesus comes in the personal relationship that he wants to with us, we cannot journey one moment without him, amen? Being at the center of every breath. And I find myself so often as I pray out loud to y'all, you know, thanking God for the breath of life that he tells us in Genesis he gave us, for every heartbeat that he's given to us. It tells us also in verse 44 that they, when they realized they had journeyed a day without him, they sought him among his kinsfolk and acquaintance. When I saw that, you know, you imagine they're looking. Where's, if you've seen Jesus, I'm sure they start with family first, amen? And then they went on to the neighbors, then his acquaintances. They start asking people, we don't know where's Jesus at? I thought that if you're looking for Jesus, as we journey together, whether it's a lost person out in the world or somebody we're trying to be an influence on or somebody we don't even know, I wonder when they meet up with us and they're trying to seek out and find Jesus, will they find Jesus in me? Will they find Jesus in you? And more importantly, the real thing is about that they did not find Jesus among their kinsfolk. They didn't find Jesus among their acquaintances. And can I tell you today, you won't either. You can't find a personal relationship with Jesus. You can see it, and it needs to be seen, but you can't get your own through them. The only way you can have is to invite him to surrender your life, to give everything to that Jesus. To be, as a phrase has been termed before, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you allow Jesus to come and realize that he wants to deal with you. He wants to deal with me every step of our journey. And often that doesn't happen. Look in verse 45. As we finish up this morning, it says, and I love those words, when they found him not. When they found him not. And I really pray this morning, and I'm telling you, there's just no, there, if you have never found Jesus to enter into a personal, close relationship, the Bible says you become a new man, a new woman. Everything old's gone. It's all new. And I mean, it's just, you'll know. And if you never had that experience, one of the greatest things is you came this morning, and the reason God brought you here is not to come with family, not to come to church on Christmas Day, but to realize, hey, I don't have that personal relationship, and I want to be able to enter and leave here with the Jesus I didn't have before. Maybe as I was mentioning about journeying, maybe you realize that you're just not journeying day by day, a moment by moment with Jesus like he'd like to. But it says, when they found him not, it says they turned back. It says they turned back to Jerusalem. They said, hey, Jesus isn't with us. We're headed back to Jerusalem. And folks, that's all we have to do. You may have journeyed a lifetime, but you can turn back this morning. At the end of this service, you can turn back and you can go, as it says, we'll say in the verse, they went seeking Jesus. You can find him. How about it, Christian? And maybe in a moment you want to come to the altar and say, you know, Jesus, I've been doing too much journeying in my thinking, in my actions, in my life that's without you. And I want to, on this Christmas day, I want to turn back and I want to continue day by day. When I get on the wrong track, I want to turn back and I'm going to spend my life from this point forward seeking you more and more. And when they found him, and when you find him, really the same words are said in verse 49. He told them, I must be about my Father's business. And that's what a personal relationship, one of the biggest indicators, if you have a personal relationship, you're about his business. You're sharing Jesus with others. You're involved in serving him in his church. And you're journeying with him. And I'm telling you, there's an old song, okay, I can't even remember the name, but I love the phrase where it says, I wouldn't take nothing from our journey now. Amen? That's what a relationship is. We must, church, in this coming year, what? Journey with him and be about his business. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Jessica and Kay are making their way up for a time of invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I really want to speak for a moment right now for that one that God's brought. And I really believe he brought you here today for this reason. And if you've journeyed a lifetime, whether you're a child, it's been a short life, whatever age you are, if you've journeyed your life so far without Jesus, I wanted you to take this opportunity to turn to him, seek him in a prayer of salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was a gift. Can't earn it, don't deserve it, nothing we can do. A gift we open with a prayer. And if you've never opened that gift of Jesus, however it's been with you all your life, everywhere you've sat, laid, been, work, home, it's there, the gift of Jesus. But today is going to be the day and time you open that gift with a simple prayer. He wouldn't make it hard. He loves you, cares about you. He wants to give you a relationship that you cannot even imagine, an abundant life you cannot even imagine. He wants to come inside and live inside of you as your personal Savior. If you've journeyed a lifetime without him, I encourage you to pray right now a simple prayer like this in your heart. Just pray it between you and the Lord. Dear Jesus, I know I've journeyed my life really without a relationship. I've known about you. I've even believed in you. But I've never given my life to you. And I know I'm a sinner. There's so much I do I shouldn't do. And so many things I need to do for you that I don't do. And I want to turn from all that, and I want to ask you to save me. I invite you to come in my heart and life. Take control, Jesus. I'm not doing a very good job myself. I give you my heart and life. I'm going to trust you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, with every head still bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to come to you, call you out, embarrass you, anything, but I want to be able to pray for you as you begin this journey. If you prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand up for a moment, all of the church? If you prayed that prayer, lift your hand up, hold it for just a moment. And dear God, we pray not only for that, but we pray for other decisions that have been made. And Lord, during this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that maybe each one of us in some way will take a moment and examine our journey in any way we need to turn back and seek you and journey closer, that it'll happen during this time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica, you lead us. Thank you for following Jesus here this morning and honoring him and honoring us by worshiping together. It hadn't been an awesome time to be together. And I know many of you are going to be traveling, and so we pray for your traveling mercies and safety. I thank you for your blessings. And from many weeks back, all that's taken place for all of our celebrations with the children, with the choir, where they're eating, with the decorations, with even this morning service, all the time that you invested in helping. Thank you, thank you, thank you from a pastor with that. And I couldn't leave here without mentioning something. We are so blessed, amen. And early this morning, as I was getting here, and there was a few of us here, there was a young deputy sheriff that was sitting in the car out front. He's been out there today. So, I mean, often they'll sit here, you know, at different times and things, and always like to go and speak with them. And God did a neat thing. As I started to head out there, Byron was going to speak to him, and I went out, and I realized I'd given a lot of the guys that help do things at church a little flashlight, those multicolored. I said, feel picky out of color. I said, I'll give him a flashlight, got an extra one, a little thank you gift. Went back. Guess what? God had left a blue one, amen, for the police. But went out, and I said, Merry Christmas, you know. He said, you having any trouble this morning? I said, no. He said, well, that's why I'm here. He said, you know, there's been a lot of threats against Christians and churches for Christmas Day. And so we just want to come. Man, aren't you thankful for that? I thank for our sheriff and for the deputy. So we're worshiping and we're celebrating. He's out there serving, protecting. He's waving his family for us. So I just wanted y'all to join me in praying for all those men and women that serve us and be thankful. And thankful that we've had just an awesome, uneventful service. But I really appreciate that, don't y'all? I appreciate that. And if you're still sitting out there, you can thank him yourself. But Merry Christmas. Amen. God bless you. Hilton, would you close us in prayer?